Hello, and welcome to the AULC Ministries message this week. I am Dr. Rob White, and I'm happy that you could take a few minutes out of your busy schedule to be with us today. Our scripture lesson this week comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, starting at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was laying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out and made his way to a deserted place, and he was praying there. Simon and his companions went searching for him. They found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come." So he went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, some years ago, Bruce Barton, a highly successful advertising man, he wrote a book called The Man Nobody Knows. Now, the book, which became a bestseller, depicted Jesus as a successful salesman and publicist. It pictured Jesus as a role model for businessmen. Remember, they were all men in those days. In one sense, Barton's book was true because it suggested that businessmen could learn a great deal from Jesus. And that's true. In another sense, the book was fiction because it clothed Jesus in a Madison Avenue suit and had him endorsing Madison Avenue values. That's false. We might characterize Bruce Barton as specializing in fiction. He created the fictional character Betty Crocker for General Mills. He created the fictional character Jesus in a gray flannel suit for Madison Avenue. Now, in a sense, Bruce Barton, he was like all of us. We would all like to think that Jesus believed what we believe and valued what we value. But as the old song says, it ain't necessarily so. Now, Jesus did not come from heaven to rubber stamp the way we live. Jesus came to show us a new way. He did not come to show us how to succeed on Madison Avenue, or Wall Street, or any other power boulevard. Jesus did not come to show us how to make money, or to acquire power, or to sell widgets. Jesus came to introduce us to a new world, an alien world, a world so different that we could not have imagined it on our own. That world is called the Kingdom of God. The rules in that world, in the kingdom of God, are upside down and backwards. In this world, the winners lose and the losers win. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The one who dies with the most toys loses. The world to which Jesus introduces us is almost an Alice in Wonderland world, a world that is completely different than our own world. Preparing ourselves to live in the kingdom of God is learning to live by a whole new set of rules. In the world we live in today, a rich person can walk through any door, but it's quite different in the kingdom of heaven world because this is what Jesus describes. He says, "It is harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. In the world we live in today, the winners are kings and queens and presidents. In the world in which we live today, the winners are movie stars and Microsoft bazillionaires. And Jesus says that in the kingdom of God, the winners will be servants. Those who have focused on helping others instead of buying things for themselves, we get a glimpse of servanthood in our gospel text today. Jesus went to the home of Simon and Andrew, and when he got there, Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus took her by the hand and he lifted her up. At his touch, she recovered from her illness. Then she began to serve Jesus and the others. Now, the story there might just set teeth on edge. The men were doing interesting things like traveling about and healing people and teaching and driving out demons. And the women, well, in the case of Simon's mother-in-law, were serving the men. Jesus had taken this woman's hand and lifted her up, with the result that she became a servant. Many people today find that offensive. We say, no thanks. Don't bounce the women off a glass ceiling like that, Jesus. If you're going to lift a woman up, make her a CEO. Don't make her a housekeeper. But we need to remember that Jesus was operating according to different rules. His were not the rules of this world, but his were the rules of the kingdom of God. They were backward rules. They were upside down rules. Jesus did not call us to live by upside down rules only. He embodied them. He was not born in a palace. He was born in a stable. He was not a citizen of Rome, but he was a citizen of Israel. He did not ride about on a chariot. He walked everywhere. He moved not towards a crown, but he moved towards a cross. Jesus tried to teach his disciples about following that example. He tried to help them understand that God favors service rather than power. He tried to open their eyes to the fact that he would conquer the world, not by power of the sword, but by the power of love. The disciples failed time after time to understand this. They protested when he told them he must suffer and die. They were anxious to have seats of honor when Jesus came into power. The women seemed to find the kingdom rules easier to follow, easier to understand. Simon's mother-in-law was but the first of a series of women who seemed to just get it. Others include the poor widow who dropped her last coin in the temple treasury, and the woman who anointed Jesus with expensive ointments, and the women at the cross, and the woman at the tomb. So we might say that Simon's mother-in-law got it. When Jesus lifted her up and made her well, she used her restored health as an opportunity for service. Her example stands in dramatic contrast with that of the men, who, time after time, failed to get it. It was only later, much later, that the men began to understand the power of servant ministry. Now, in our gospel text, the crowds came to Jesus for healing, and he healed many people. Then he went away by himself to a deserted place. The disciples came urging him to return. They said, "Everyone's looking for you." But Jesus refused to return to the crowds. He said, "Let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because I came out for this reason." So Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message and healing people. Now, Bruce Barton would not have left the crowds behind. Madison Avenue never walks away from a customer. Any good MBA would tell you that Jesus failed to exploit an opportunity here. But Jesus wasn't interested in marketing. He wasn't interested in success of the world as the world defines success. Jesus had come to defeat Satan not by dramatic miracles, but by suffering and death. Jesus was living by kingdom rules, the rules of the kingdom of God. The men seemed not to get it, but the women did, starting with Simon's mother-in-law. Now, the amazing thing is that kingdom rules work. Kingdom rules are not guaranteed to make us rich and famous. They're designed to draw people into the kingdom of God. Kingdom rules do not bring us glory. They bring God glory. Kingdom rules are contagious. They spread from the human heart to human heart until they affect the whole world. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "A little yeast leavens the whole lump." True faith is contagious. People are drawn to those whose lives reflect love and a sacrificial spirit. Now, we sometimes forget the power of these kingdom rules. We sometimes buy into the worldly estimate of kingdom rules as weak or powerless. But kingdom rules are not weak and powerless after all. Charles Colson tells of a visit to a prison in Jessup, Maryland some years ago. He and his associates were going to spend 2 days ministering to prisoners there. The governor had issued a proclamation in honor of Colson's visit, so the press got into the act. As Colson and his little entourage approached the prison, they saw the bright lights of television cameras focused on them. Colson had brought some great talent with him. He had brought Whitney Phipps, a gospel singer who had just sung for President Reagan the day before. He brought Herman Heed, who had been converted while incarcerated in solitary confinement. As Phipps sang and Heed gave his testimony, the prisoners responded with great enthusiasm. To close the visit, Colson met with a number of prisoners, and they talked about how much they appreciated Phipps' music and Heed's testimony. The whole visit had gone very well, but one of the prisoners talked about what really had affected him. He said, "When the celebrities and the TV cameras left, the ladies among the volunteers went into the dining hall, and with all the noise and the confusion, and sat at the table to have a meal with us. That's what really got to me." You see, showmanship had its place. But the real power of that prison visit there took place at the level of one human heart caring about another human heart. That's what really affected those prisoners. Jesus took the mother-in-law's hand and lifted her up, and the fever left, and she began to serve them. We ought to take this as a model for our own lives, all of us, men and women. When Christ lifts us up, when Christ makes us whole, when Christ delivers us from those things that would destroy us, when Christ empowers us, we need to use those blessings to serve our fellow human beings. When we do that, we help Christ plant the seed of Christ's love in each human heart that we touch. And the irony is, Christ blesses us when we take upon ourselves the role of a servant, when we shed personal ambition and serve other people. Philip Yancey is a Christian journalist, and in his book, I Was Just Wondering, he talks about the kinds of people whom he's interviewed over the years. He divides them into two categories. He divides them into stars and servants. He has interviewed movie stars, football greats, famous authors, other people whose work has brought them wealth and fame. He says of these stars, "I must tell you, in my limited experience that our idols are as miserable a group of people that I've ever met. He goes on to talk about their broken marriages, their self-doubt, and their dependence on psychotherapy. Yancey talks about the servants, people like Paul Brand, a physician who worked among the poorest of the poor in India. Yancey says that he was prepared to admire people like Paul Brand, but not to envy them. What he found, though, was that when placed side by side, the servants were far happier and more fulfilled than the stars. Yancey says they work for low pay, long hours, and no applause, wasting their talents and skills among the poor and uneducated, but somehow in the process of losing their lives, they have found them. Jesus came to Simon's mother-in-law and took her hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. Let us go and do likewise. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching and listening, and I hope to see you all next week. Thank you.